Hope you brought your Bibles with you today. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. If you didn't bring your Bible with you today, go ahead and click on your smartphone. If you brought a tablet, click on your tablet to Matthew chapter 6. We're in week 2 of our Generous series. And what we're trying to do with the Generous series is this. What we're trying to do today is this. We're trying to learn more as to how God wants us to live with the resources that He's given us. We want to try to learn how God wants us to live with the money that He's given us. And a lot of you may not know this, but the Bible is actually chock full of advice when it comes to money. And some of you might be scratching your head going, wait a minute, Lynn, you mean really? The Bible really is chock full of advice when it comes to money? Yes, it is. You may or may not know this, but did you know that half of Jesus' parables, half of the stories that Jesus tells there in the Gospels, half of them have to do with money? Half of them have to do with possessions. And so given that fact, that begs the question, why did Jesus talk so much about money? Why did He talk so much about resources and possessions? Now, I ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. I hope you're there now. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 24. This is what Jesus says there in Matthew 6, 24. He said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, what in the world does Jesus mean by serving two masters? What's He talking about? Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a job where you've worked for two different people at the same time? Raise your hands. Yeah, we've had quite a few in the last two services as well. You've worked for two bosses, and so you know what it's like, right? It's not an easy thing to do. In fact, ministers get caught up in this quite a bit. It's not prevalent in this church, but I've had churches where this has happened, where you've got an elder or a group of elders who say, you know what, the ministers ought to be doing this. And then you've got an elder or another group of elders over here, and they say, no, the ministers ought to be doing this. And so that's the fun that sometimes ministers go through. You know what? It's a stressful kind of fun that you have to go through. You see, Jesus was spot on, I think, when He said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two different bosses. And then Jesus goes on to say, He says, you can't serve both God and money, or God and mammon. You might be asking the question, well, wait a minute, I didn't see that in the scripture. I didn't see that. I don't see that in my Bible. What's mammon? M-A-M-M-O-N. Mammon is the King James version of the word money. And did you know that this is the only place in the Bible where Jesus said, you can't serve God and this as well? It's found nowhere else in the Bible. Now, our modern translations, we see the word money, but Jesus actually used the term mammon. You ask the question, what's mammon? Mammon is actually the word that Jesus used, and it's an Aramaic word, and it's simply been translated in our modern-day translations as money. But I think the word goes a whole lot further than this. The word money is far too simple. Here's a question for you. Is money inherently good or evil? Is money inherently good? Trick question. Is it inherently good or evil? It's neither. It's neither. Money is neither. It all depends on how you spend it. It all depends on how you use it. Money is actually neutral. You can use money for good things like feeding starving children here and all over the world. Or you can use money in a bad way, any bad way that you can think up. It all depends on how you spend it. Now, some people say, well, the Bible says money's the root of all evil, right? Not exactly. Look at what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. There he said to Timothy, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." And you might say, well, okay then, is that what Jesus is talking about, the love of money? Kinda, sorta. But actually, you don't love money, do you? I mean, you don't pull out a bill, a $5 bill from your pocket, and you don't actually love money, do you? Oh, I just love this. Look at this picture of Lincoln. This is my favorite picture of Lincoln. And look on the back. It's the Lincoln Memorial. I love that picture. And look at the color in this bill. Look at the green. Look at there's kind of some blue in there, maybe some red in there. And look at the design. I just love the money, right? We don't do that, right? We don't do that at all. What do we love about money? We love what money can do for us. That's what we love about money. And that, I think, is what Jesus is talking about. You see, mammon is not money. Did you know that mammon is the word that Jesus used? Did you know that mammon is actually a spirit? A false god by definition? I mean, go home after the service is over or get on your smartphone, not now, but get on your smartphone later and Google mammon and then click images. When you Google mammon, it'll pull up all sorts of images that are really kind of creepy. In fact, we've gotten three of them for you this morning. Here's one of them. Isn't that kind of nasty looking? I mean, that's kind of evil looking, right? That artist depicts mammon as like a person with a bird's head. Here's another one. I mean, talk about weird, right? I mean, talk about nasty looking, right? Look at this one. That's a creepy one. You see, mammon, by definition, is not money. Mammon, by definition, is actually a false god. And did you know this? We use mammon in our modern-day culture. Did you know that? Who in this room loves to play board games? Raise your hand. We should have quite a few of you. John Branion, I know you'd hate board games, don't you? No, not. You love board. Anybody ever played Dungeons and Dragons? Come on, you got to admit it. Got to admit it. Okay, some of you, we play Dungeons and Dragons, right. Did you know that mammon is a character in Dungeons and Dragons? Mammon is the arch devil in hell in Dungeons and Dragons. Anybody ever read the comic book Spawn? Anybody? A few of you? Okay, Spawn. Did you know that mammon is a character in Spawn? He's the evil villain in Spawn. And here's what I think, for our purposes today, here's what I think a good definition of mammon is. Mammon is the prideful attitude, hear me, it's the prideful attitude of trusting money to give you what only God can give you. Understand, mammon is a spirit. Mammon is a false god. And mammon says to you, and mammon says to me, if I just had a little bit more money, you know what? That'd be the answer to all of my problems. And do you know what the problem with mammon is? The problem with mammon is this. It cannot deliver on those promises. Mammon is a liar. In fact, people actually believe the lie that money can provide security. Have you ever said this? I have, sad to say, but I've said this. Have you ever said, if I had just this amount of money, I'd be set for life? You ever say that? Am I the only one? Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, if I just had this much money, I'd be set for life. You see, money promises you identity. But it doesn't deliver. If I just had more money, I'd buy this car. If I just had more money, I could live in this neighborhood. If I just had more money, I could do this, I could do that. I could go here, I could go there. And you know what? People would look up to me. People would respect me. I'd be significant. If I had more money, my marriage would be better. If I had more money, I'd have more peace. If I had more money, I'd have more happiness in my life. If I just had a little bit more money. Listen, only God can give you peace. Only God can give you significance. Only God can give you identity. Only God can give you a better marriage. But somehow, some way, we've bought into the lie that money will make our lives better. Have you ever read some of the encounters that Jesus had with people in the Bible? People who've had legitimate needs. And you know what Jesus does in those encounters? Jesus pulls out his billfold. He hands him $100. He said, here, listen, this ought to fix your problem right with this, right? That's what he does, right? No. Jesus doesn't do anything like that. Can I tell you what helps people? God. God helps people. And somehow we have bought into the lie that money solves all of our problems. And here's something that's funny and sad at the same time. What's written on every piece of money we have here in America? What's written on our money? In God we trust. Exactly right. In God we trust. Remember, mammon is the spirit that tries to tell you that you can trust the money. And the money will give you happiness. The money will give you identity. The money will give you significance. Remember that? That's what the Spirit whispers to you. And how funny is it? How funny is it that every single time we pay for something, we pay with a bill, we pay with coins that say, "In God we trust, not money." I think that's just really weird, isn't it? Now, this morning, what I want to do is to share with you a couple of different principles. And if you apply these two principles to your life, they will revolutionize everything about you. And here's the first principle. Write this one down. You've got to change your perspective about money. All of us, we have got to change our perspective when it comes to money. The overwhelming view of the majority of Americans when it comes to money is that it's mine. Oh, it's mine. It's my money. And since it's my money, I deserve to do whatever I want with my money. Can I shed some light on that viewpoint? There is not one place in the Bible that says that the money that you have in your pocket, the money that you have in your bank account, nowhere does it say in the Bible that it's yours. Not one place. Actually, it's quite the opposite. In fact, the Bible says everything you own is not yours. Everything you own actually belongs to God. And what you are doing, you are actually managing that money for God. And this is a huge deal. It's managing your money versus managing God's money. And that's why I think we get so mad at the government when they misuse our money, right? I mean, we hear about some of the studies that the government does when it comes to money, and we're scratching our head going, what in the world are they doing? They are misusing, they are wasting my tax dollars, right? We do that all the time. You see, what we've got is not ours. We are simply managing it for God. Last week, I told you a story. And some of you are here and you heard it. I told you a story about Sandy and I eating at the McDonald's at the I-74 McDonald's in Brownsburg. And that evening, our grade school kids were going every way. I mean, football practice, soccer practice, all different kinds of things were going on. We didn't have time to sit at home and make dinner and, you know, all that kind of stuff and eat. And so we went to McDonald's. And all of us ordered our food. I got done first. I wolfed down my quarter pounder, wolfed down my fries. Anybody like McDonald's French fries? I love McDonald's French fries. Because I love McDonald's French fries so very much, I reached over the table. I grabbed some French fries from one of my boys. And guess what he said? "No, Dad, those are mine." Forget the fact that good old Dad paid for the stinking French fries, right? I wonder, is that how God looks at us sometimes? Some of you may be thinking to yourself, you know, Lynn, I hear what you're saying, but man, I just don't get it. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I just don't get it. I mean, I'm the one that gets up early every single morning and gets ready for work. I'm the one who fights traffic to get to work. I'm the one who works for this guy who doesn't even like me. He doesn't appreciate me. I don't like the job. I don't make what I think I'm worth. And you know what? I'm the one, I work my tail off every single day to earn every single dime I make. I'm the one. And I'm not going to argue with you about that. I'm not. I get it. I understand it. I've worked for contractors, I've worked in factories, I've worked in churches most of my life, but I've been out there on the factory floor. I get it, working your tail off just for a dime, it seems like. But let me throw this verse in for your thinking. Let me throw this verse into the hopper. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. This is what God says. You may say to yourself, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember, he says in verse 18, "the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." It's him who gives you the ability to produce wealth. What's he saying? In essence, God's saying, hey, listen, I gave you the brains that you got. Some of us have a little bit more than others. I I give you the talent. I give you the skills. I give you the strength to do what you do. And you know what? I give all that to you in order for you to make money to live on, and I can, if I so choose, I can take it away just like that. I can take it away in the snap of a finger. I mean, that's a new concept, I believe, for a lot of America. Everything you've got, your car, your house, all the toys that you've got, your four-wheelers, your guns, your boats, whatever it might be, everything you've got, the clothes that you wear on your back, the bank accounts, the retirement accounts, everything you've got, it belongs to God. It's all God's. And when you start thinking this way, it changes everything in your life. You see, it's a matter of perspective. And for a lot of us, we've got to change our perspective on how we look at money. Here's a second thing. Here's a second shift in thinking that I think we've got to look at, and that is where we invest our money. Where we invest our money. I've been thinking about this line all weekend long, and I wish I would have thought about it before, but I think we should change that. I think it should read this way. We've got to change where we invest His money or where we invest God's money. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. I hope you have your thumb in the Bible there. Matthew chapter 6. Let's not look at verse 24, but let's go back up a few verses. Look at verses 19 and 20. There Jesus is still talking. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And he says there, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. He says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Okay, I want you to picture this. Put yourself in this story, would you? You've got this lump sum of money that you've inherited from Aunt Martha, right? You were her favorite niece. You were her favorite nephew. Aunt Martha leaves you a goodly sum of money. You go to this financial advisor. You ask the financial advisor, hey, listen, could you invest this money for me? And the guy goes, yeah, I'll invest the money for you, but first I've got some questions for you. And so he drags out this long list of questions, and he asks you questions like, what are your hopes and dreams? What do you want to accomplish with this money? Where do you want to live at the end of your life? What do you care about? What kinds of things do you want to do in the future? And you think to yourself, and you talk to him, and you say, you know what? I want to retire at this age. I want to retire here. I want to live in this kind of a neighborhood. I want us to have this kind of an income. And by the way, we want to go here, and we want to go there, and we want to go over there. We want to do all these things. Can you help us out? And the guy goes, yeah, yeah, I think I can really help you out. And so you leave the money with him. He then invests the money, or so you think he invests the money. You come back a year later, and you go, hey, listen, how's it going? Hey, how are we doing? How's my retirement fund going? And he looks at you with a look that you're going, there's something not right here. And he says to you something like this. Well, he said, you know, when you left, here's what happened. You didn't know it, but my wife, she's been really, really, really unhappy with her car. And you need to know, she for years has been driving this 1971 Ford Pinto. Anybody know anything about Pintos? Yeah? Death trap on four wheels, right? Death trap on four wheels. And she was really unhappy with that car. It was really, really unsafe. And I know you. I know you so well that you wouldn't want my wife to drive an unsafe car. You wouldn't want that at all. And so what we did, we took the money and we bought her a really fine car. And by the way, she loves the car. She just absolutely loves the car. What are you thinking? You're thinking probably what I'm thinking. I'm going to wring that guy's neck, right? I'm going to kill you, right? But then after a moment of thinking about that, I'm thinking, you know what? Murder's not exactly the best option here. And then I start asking myself the question, why in the world did this guy ask me all those questions? I mean, why did he ask me about my hopes and dreams? Why did he ask me about what I wanted to do with my money later in life? Why did he ask me all that stuff? How does this happen? And here's my point. As followers of Jesus Christ, and even if we do believe that everything is ours, even if we do believe that, wouldn't it make sense that we would at least invest a portion? Wouldn't it make sense that we did at least invest a portion of what God's given us into those things that God cares about. I mean, wouldn't that make sense? I mean, it makes sense to me. I mean, what does God care about most? God cares about heaven most of all. Specifically, He cares that anybody and everybody, He wants anybody and everybody to get to heaven. That's what He cares about. He wants us all to get into heaven, to spend eternity with Him. That's God's heart. You see, if everything we have belongs to God, we've got to ask ourselves, how do we at least invest a portion of what we have into those things that God cares about? And that's where a really weird word comes into play, and it's the word tithe. Now, some of you have known about the word tithe for a long, long time. For those of you who don't know about the word tithe is a Bible word, and the word tithe from the Bible literally means 10%. And the concept is this. Let's say you make $50,000 a year. Let's say you make $100,000 a year. You take 10% of that money that you make every single year, and you give it back to God through the local church. You give it back to God through the church where you're learning and you're serving and you're growing in. That's the concept of the tithe. And I have talked to a lot of people from coast to coast all over the United States about money. I used to raise money for schools and churches. And I've had people ask me the question, Lynn, how in the world can I do this tithing thing and still pay my bills? I mean, look at the numbers, Lynn. Look at the numbers. If I tithe 10%, I've still got my bills. I'm not going to be able to pay some of my bills. How does that work? I've had people ask me this, Lynn, when I get more, or say this to me, Lynn, when I get more, I'll start tithing. Lynn, when I get the inheritance from Aunt Martha, when I get the inheritance from her, then I'll start tithing. When I get the raise, then I'll start tithing. When I get the windfall, then I'll start tithing. Who's talking there? Who's talking when I get more? Who's talking? Mammon. That false god, that spirit is talking. If I just had a little bit more. Here's the reality. If you did have just a little bit more, the likelihood of you tithing on that, in my estimation, is slim. Now, I'm not trying to tick anybody off this morning. I'm not trying to drive anybody away this morning. I'm really not. Why do I say that? I say that because of what Jesus said. Don't kill the messenger here. I say that because of what Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 16. Look at what he says there in 16:10. He says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. In other words, he says, if you've not been tithing the little things, how do I see you tithing when you get the big things? If you're not doing it with the little things, how are you going to do it in the big things? I don't see that happening. And those aren't my words. Those aren't my words. Like I said, don't kill the messenger. Those words come from Jesus. But what if you thought, you know, I'm gonna try God out on this. What if you were to tithe? What if you were to tithe and you look at your numbers, you're going, man, the numbers just don't make sense. But you decide, yes, I'm gonna tithe, and then at the end of the month or at the end of the year, you go, I don't know how it happened, but man, I'm telling you what, I tithed and it actually worked. Would that change how you trust God? If it actually worked, would that change how you trust God? Trey, is my mic on? Would that change how you trust God? Of course it would. Of course it would. God, The numbers don't work here. I'm going to try it, but the numbers don't work. I've had, I don't know how many people tell me this. They've done it. The numbers didn't work, but when they get to the end of the month or the end of the year or the end of the quarter, guess what? God bailed them out. God worked in their lives. And not just them, but a number of people through the years I've talked to, they had the same testimony. I had an assistant at another church, and she and her husband needed a new septic system for their house. They lived in a subdivision east of town, and the husband kept saying, "Hey, listen, we don't have the money for the septic system. Let's just take the tithe. Let's take our church money and let's use it for the septic system." And by the way, their septic system was bad and getting worse really, really quick. And these two people were involved in church. They still are involved in that church. They're highly involved in that church. And the husband kept saying, "Hey, let's just use our tithe money." The wife kept saying, No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that at all." And then finally, the county got involved. The county caught wind of the septic system problem, right? The county caught wind of that. The county comes out, and the county says, "You know what? If you don't get that fixed very, very soon, we're going to evict you from your own house because you are living in dangerous conditions." She comes into the office shortly after that. She says, "Lynn, you won't believe this. We got a check in the mail just the other day." The check in the mail was from the Internal Revenue Service. As it turns out, we have evidently overpaid our taxes for the past 2 years or so, and they've refunded the money that we've overpaid to them. And the check that we got, it pays for the entire septic system. In fact, not only does it pay for the entire septic system, we've got $10 left over. How does that work, folks? How does that work? I only got a couple of words. Only God. Only God can do something like that. I mean, these people live from paycheck to paycheck like a lot of us do. In fact, they live from paycheck to paycheck even today. And they're faithful. God is faithful. There are people in this church, there are people in every single service in this church who would have the same testimony. "Man, my numbers don't work, but I do it anyway. Because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God will come through." 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "Every Sunday, each of you must put aside some money in proportion to what you've earned." Look at the two words up there, "in proportion," second line toward the end. In proportion. In the Old Testament, it talks about tithing. New Testament, it talks about giving in proportion to what you have earned. In fact, the New Testament also talks about giving or sacrificial giving. You know, not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. So it talks about sacrificial giving. It talks about giving in proportion to what you earn. If you're a high-income earner, if you're a low-income earner, tithing's a starting point for you. It's not a stopping point for you. It's a starting point. There's a Christian writer, speaker, Bob Benson. He died quite a few years ago now, but I heard him speak a couple of times, and one time he was talking about going on a Sunday school picnic. And he got done with church. He rushed home. He was making his lunch for the Sunday school picnic. His wife was out of town, so he was alone. And so he rushes home. He opens up the fridge. He pulls out the bologna. He grabs a couple of pieces of bread and some cheese and some mayonnaise and slaps them together. He grabs a Coke. He throws it in a paper bag, and he's off to the park. He gets to the park where the Sunday school class is having the picnic, and some people go, "Hey, Bob, come on over here." So he goes over to the picnic table where they're sitting, and they said, "Would you eat with us?" He goes, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And so he says, "I sat down with my cold bologna sandwich and my Coke." And they sat down with their picnic basket. They opened up their picnic basket, and they dragged out fried chicken. They dragged out potato salad. They dragged out coleslaw. They had lemonade in there. They had baked beans in there. They had apple pie in there. Everything that a picnic needs, right? He said, there I sat with my bologna sandwich. And guess what the family said to him? Hey, listen, Bob, why don't we just share? He goes, oh, no, 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 no. We're not going to share. I just brought a bologna sandwich today. That's all I got. They go, you know what? That's fine. That's fine. We love bologna sandwiches. We'll eat. He goes, no, 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 no. We can't do it. No, no, really. Let's share. We've got plenty of everything. Let's just share. And he said, he reluctantly said yes. He reluctantly agreed to what they said, and they shared. He went on to say, you know what? I came to this picnic like a pauper, and I ate like a king. He went on to say, he got to thinking about that. He said, you know what? When we come to God's table, it's pretty embarrassing, isn't it? As to what we bring to the picnic, if you will. It's pretty embarrassing. We don't have a whole lot. But God's got plenty of mercy. God's got plenty of love. God's got plenty of grace. God's got plenty of wisdom. God's got plenty of power. God's got plenty, and God is saying, hey, listen, why don't you give what you've got? I'll give what I've got, and let's just share together. I mean, think about it, folks. It's stupid, isn't it? It's really stupid to see people running through life holding on to the bag with their cold, stale bologna sandwich. When God's got this picnic basket full of great stuff, it's pretty dumb. You see, here's the reality. God doesn't need our bologna sandwich. But we need God's fried chicken, amen? God's got plenty of love. God's got plenty of mercy. God's got plenty of grace and wisdom and power. We need what God has. And he's got plenty of it. And he's wanting to share it with us. Why don't we share with him? Why don't we share with Go Love Kokomo? Why don't we share through the ministry of Fairfield? Jesus says, freely you've received. In essence, hey, I gave you all this. Freely you've received. And then he said, freely give. Freely give. We sort of talked about that last week. Give expecting nothing in return. That's the way God, that's how God gave to us. He gave to us expecting nothing in return. And he wants us to give to other people expecting nothing in return. Freely you've received. Freely give. It all boils down to one word. And that one word is trust. How much do you trust God? How much do you trust God? Let's bow our heads, shall we? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you today with nothing more than a bologna sandwich. God, your picnic basket is filled with stuff, filled with all sorts of things that you want to share with us. And God, you want to share salvation with us. And that comes through Jesus Christ. God, we can't bring anything to buy it. God, we can't bring anything to merit having it. You're freely giving it to us. And God, we thank you so much for that. And God, with salvation in our lives, having received that, God, we want to give to others. So God, I pray that all of us would be a generous people, not just with the money that we've got in our pocket, but God, I pray that we'd be a generous people with our time, that we'd be a generous people with our skills and our talents, that God, we'd be a generous people with everything we've got. So God, please help us to be a generous people, to model our lives after you and your son Jesus. We pray in his name, amen. If you're here this morning and you're going, man, I'm hearing what you're talking about with when it comes to generosity. Man, I want some of that. I want some of that generosity from God. I want to be in his picnic basket. And I'm telling you what, God wants you to be at his picnic table. If you've got a decision to make for Christ today, why don't you come forward? Let's talk about that. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's sing together.